Welcome back to another episode of Exiled Strangers. How you doing, nobody?
Doing good, man. Doing good. How are you?
Pretty good. Now, remember, we do testimonies on this podcast as well as like current events and biblical deep dives. If you want to sign up for your testimony, if you want to give your testimony anonymously, like we are right now, anonymous, then shoot us an email at exiledstrangers@proton.me. exiledstrangers@proton.me. Now, if you don't mind, nobody, I'm going to tell a quick ice cream story since, you know, listeners of this podcast understand that we're big fans of ice cream. I'm going to tell a quick ice cream story that happened right before we started recording. In fact, we could have started recording maybe 15 minutes earlier had this incident not happened. So, okay. yesterday evening, I'm about to go to bed and I'm like, oh, okay, snack would be nice. So I go and look in the freezer and I'm like, oh, snap. There's a pint of ice cream I forgot about. I don't remember buying this. It just is like, it's like one of those bonus pints. You know what I'm saying? And it was the Häagen-Dazs ice cream cone ice cream, ooh, which is not even one that I buy. Yeah. It was like, this is a unique, you know, flavor. It's not even one that I usually buy. But I ate the whole thing, as you do, you know? And I'm thinking, okay, cool. That was a nice little bonus ice cream joint and stuff. And then just maybe an hour ago, my wife comes up to me and she's like, did you eat that ice cream that I bought? And then it all clicked. I'm like, of course I don't remember buying that ice cream because I didn't buy the ice cream. I just saw ice cream in the freezer and just assumed it was my ice cream. Like, dude, no recollection of this thing at all.
Like, how do you know you're an addict without saying you're an addict, you know?
You just assume that all the ice cream in the house is just something that you bought at one point.
Yeah. Yeah.
I ran to the grocery store and I got her a couple of options of ice cream to make up for it. She wasn't mad. She was just funny. Like, she was just laughing. Like, it was in there for literally a day. It was in there literally a day and then just gone.
There's no frozen treats are safe. Mm-hmm. How was it? Was it good?
Dude, it was fantastic.
Okay.
Yeah, was fantastic. Ever since we started figuring out, have you heard of that cancer? Well, we call it cancer cream, but that Karengian or Karengian? I don't know how to pronounce it.
Is that the stuff that keeps it from like melting all crazy?
I don't know. I don't know what it is. It's like some additive that they add to like milk-based or dairy-based cream type products. But it like for sure gives you cancer. It's like not even a question. Gives you cancer. Yeah. It's one of those things that's not legal in other countries, but we're perfectly fine with it here. So we try to avoid getting ice cream that has that. And Blue Bell has it. Ben and Jerry's has it. Yep. Why? There's some rules for that one. Yep. They just snuck it right in there, too.
Oh, my gosh. Yep. Well,
Häagen-Dazs does it.
Okay. That's better, I guess. But you just wrecked my day, man.
Sorry, buddy.
All right, everybody, podcast is over. I'm done. I'm gonna go cry. Speaking about hoes, quote of the day comes to us from 2 Kings chapter 9, verse 22. Very well may be the very first recorded mom joke. And Joram said to Jehu, is there peace?
And Jehu said, how can there be peace? Your mom's a hoe and a witch.
There you go. Very first mom joke.
Referring to Jezebel. Yeah. Yeah, referring to Jezebel. He said, how can there be peace when your mom is a harlot and a witch?
As if... yeah. When your mom's a whore and doing witch things.
We read that during a... Torah portion, I think a few of us kind of lost it and just kept busting up laughing.
Yeah, by a few of us, me and you. I think it was just me and you. Everybody's like, are these guys okay?
And the more mature ones kept it together.
Yeah. Hey, but you know what? It's all in good fun. All right. And hey, lesson for today, right? we're told in Revelation, like, we got to beware of the influences in like manner to Jezebel. You know what I mean? So,
yeah,
whoring and witchcraft. Yeah, I mean, she was such no-go.
Bad things. And I mean, she was so bad that, like, was it Jehu yelled up to her eunuchs that were in the tower with her, and he was like, "Hey, throw her down." And then they just threw her down. Yeah. It doesn't seem to be much conversation about it either.
No, they're like, finally.
They're just like, hey, yeah, grab her, throw her over. And then they just did. Which, I don't know. I wonder if she made them the eunuchs.
You know, it wouldn't surprise me. It wouldn't surprise me. Because this is like, you know, people see it all over Scripture, right? Eunuchs being mentioned. There's no prescription in Torah to make a eunuch. This is like the ways of the nation. So yeah, that would totally check out.
It seems like it would be like anti-life. Like you can't be fruitful and multiply if your fruits are gone.
Yeah. 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 And it begs a question.
So
hey, look what's happening in the world around us today. You know what I mean? It's just taking a different form. It's willful. People go into it willingly.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. And also both genders now. And that's right, y'all. I said both.
Yeah, two.
I said both. Two. Trump said so.
Yeah, isn't that crazy that all of a sudden everybody's like, oh yeah, that's right. There is only two. Like, it's like, oh my gosh. It's like
they had to have the president tell them that.
Oh my God. But that's where we're at today. That's where we're at today. That's how you know that the consummation of times is now. You know, like,
it's gotta be. This is ridiculous. Oh man. So what's on the docket for today? You want to talk about the planes and the helicopters happening? And the helicopter crashes happening?
Yeah, we'll dig in a little bit.
Personally,
of that.
That's I think personally that is seems to be like perfect timing after all these drones that we just had. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
We had drones in the same exact area, not getting any kind of answers on that. And then we have a plane crash and helicopter crash in D.C. And then we have a helicopter crash in Philly. And ain't nobody talking about drones anymore.
Well, in Philly, that was like a Learjet, apparently. But we'll go through the footage because I'm raising an eyebrow to that. And, hey, anybody who thinks I'm wrong, okay. I'm sorry you think that, but I'm entitled to my opinion. And it looks a little suspect, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, you had a good point bringing up that Philly crash. That does look a little bit suspect. And I mean, so does the DC one. Like,
what?
I've never flown anything before. I'll fully admit that. But it seems pretty easy to miss targets up there.
Bro, if you watch the flight radar, this helicopter attempted to hit two different planes before it hit the one that it actually did. And that being said, like, it's like, okay, if there's three people on this helicopter, like, if I'm the co-pilot and there's a crew chief in there too, and you got some crazy pilot, it's like, we're going to hit this plane. Like, I'm going to try to stop him. You know what I mean? Like, I'm going to know that this pilot's flying erratic, and it just doesn't, nothing checks out. Then they said it's this trans... this trans dude who's like mad about, you know, it's the trans dude's a pilot. And then the video comes out from this trans pilot saying, "Hey, I'm here. That wasn't me." And now they're saying it's somebody that the family doesn't want the name mentioned. So it's
okay. Here's why I'm saying this is suspect though. Like that. I don't think it was either one. And I think it's what I think it has more to do with like what your opinion is on the Philly one. Okay, so after 9/11 happened, they had all these, what was it, like it was some group trying to find out the truth on it. I can't remember which group. But they had all these ace pilots do the simulator to try to recreate, you know, flying a plane, that particular plane, that passenger jet, into a building, and not one of them could do it. These are like American Air Force pilots that are had some sort of credentials at being like really good for it, and or good at it, and they couldn't recreate that. But supposedly, these, I can't even say truly what they are, but apparently these Middle Eastern people learned in a couple of weeks how to do this, and they were able to do it first try. Not they didn't miss.
Yeah, on Cessnas. So
you take that on Cessnas, and these are like stationary, gigantic objects. I imagine it's 10 times harder to do that with a like two moving objects. Like instead of using a bullet to hit a target, you're now trying to hit a bullet with the bullet.
Yeah, that's a great way to, wow. Okay, you just my mind. Yep.
Great Does that point. Make sense? That's why I'm calling that, like, and if it wasn't for the test pilots trying to do that beforehand and like failing at it, because, you know, being a novice, you would think, like, or being like somebody who's never flown like me, I would think, okay, hitting a tower shouldn't be that difficult. Like, it's standing still, it's pretty doggone big. Apparently it's like very, very difficult. So I imagine it's even more difficult with a helicopter and a plane. And they're just not saying that these plane wrecks can't happen, but it seems like they're freak accidents when they honestly happen.
Yeah, it all just doesn't add up, man. Like, everything stinks. You know, you mentioned the drones, right? And this was like this was a promise before taking office that he would, you know, tell us what's up with the drones. He's like, I don't know why they're not telling you, and this and that. But then the press secretary just says, look, the FAA knew what these drones were doing and they were approved. And there's also hobbyist drones who enjoyed flying their drones. It's like, what? Like, why? That's all you're going to give us after this, like, insane amount of BS? Drones being seen all over the world. And these aren't just drones. Like, these are, like, orbs, you know? Like, this is like a spiritual entity up there, and there's also drones, you know.
I was listening to Timothy Alberino. Do you know who that is?
Sounds rings a bell.
He used to do a lot of work with L.A. Marzulli and like Gen 6 Productions and Steve Quayle and stuff. But he was doing an interview with Mike Adams earlier this week, and Timothy Alberino said that he had like that basically he had eyewitnesses that said the same thing, that A, that these smaller drones were coming out of a larger drone mothership. That was a common reoccurrence from like eyewitnesses, and that these drones seemed to be getting investigated by these orbs. Like the drones would show up, and then shortly after these orbs would show up, and then they'd be like checking them out from a distance, like, or not even like a distance, but coming up close to them and then like kind of checking them out.
Yeah. So, well, bro, I mean,
I think that's what's happening. It's a combination.
Totally. Totally. And I can't say I know for sure what these are, right? I don't. I have ideas, and they look a whole lot like stars when you zoom into them with a fancy dancy camera, you know? I'm just saying, you know, so for putting everything in spiritual context as far as what scripture, you know, points us to, I would say this is some biblical times that are unfolding in front of us.
Oh, dude, we got to get permission to use our buddy's footage.
Oh, for sure. For sure. Yeah. We will, you know what, we should do a whole like episode on angels and stuff, and kind of like, you know, how they operate within scripture and the luminaries, and I'm sure he'd be more than happy to let us use that.
That'd be awesome. And then, hey, dude, I might be getting some footage here soon of myself. We had a mutual friend that actually invited me out to his property. He has one of those, whatever camera that is. I don't know what it is. But he's like unpacked it and broke it out. Yeah, fancy pantsy camera. He unpacked it. He just recently moved to the area. And he said, yeah, you're going to have to come over and we get some footage. And just so happened to be going over to help him get his tractor unstuck tomorrow.
Oh, dude, you better stay till nightfall.
Well, yeah. I think it'd be cool to bring the wife and baby out there, too.
Yeah.
You know, introduce the baby to what these stars really are at a young age.
Seriously, like, because, I mean, think about how, like, we were just deceived and being indoctrinated in school. I don't even feel bad for not paying attention now. You know what I mean?
Dude, same. Yeah, like, that was a... dodged a bullet there. Almost got an A in that class.
Bro, I even took, like, 2 years of astronomy while I was in college. And I would just argue with this professor about creation. I'm like, no, it's not evolution and Big Bang. I'm like, you're crazy, man. Like, scripture says what it is.
Yep.
And he's like, yeah, but these theories tell us. And I'm like, yeah, theories. I was like, you guys have to make up stories to try to explain something you don't understand, you know?
Yeah.
Anyways.
I remember in middle school. Oh, you're good. No, you started a tangent now. I remember in middle school, we had a substitute teacher that took the liberty of trying to teach us that crap. And, like, the regular teacher, he was very clearly, like, a Christian. He's like, look, like, before we even got into the topic, he was like, look, this is not what I believe, but this is something, like, we have to teach in the school. And then we got into evolution. And then there was, like, a substitute teacher that came in and was, like, enthusiastically atheist.
No.
like pro-science. Thought they were more intelligent than they were, but, like, come on, homie, you're over here substitute teaching in the middle of nowhere, Kansas.
Yeah, yeah. Dude, see, that's what's crazy. Like, you know, it was tough on us, but imagine, like, today. You know what I mean? Like, kids are just being, like, indoctrinated into this fantasy world. And just to be, like, subservient to their masters. You know what I mean? There's only...
Dude, my wife brought that up the other day.
Really?
Yeah, like how they're, like, because we grew up, like, very differently, and she was saying, I grew up in, like, the prepper world, the preparedness world. I knew that the government was lying to us about all kinds of things, which, you know, got interesting when the moon trips were brought up during school, but, yeah, like, yeah. I grew up in that, like, kind of mode of, like, question everything type thing. Like, don't do something just because somebody told you to, or, like, learn the trivium, stuff like that, how to recognize fallacies and all that. And my wife wasn't. And how she, like, actually commented the other day that she was raised to be the perfect employee, not necessarily by her parents, but by, like, the school system and stuff like that. Like, they just made her, like, a perfect employee. Just do what you say, or do what is said. Don't question anything. Yeah. Stuff like that. Factory workers.
And that's the tough part, is, like, this deception now, right, that's happening. And there will be a place in time where we actually get into it in detail. We have to figure out how we're going to go about it. But just everybody remember that, like, this last king, this lawless king that goes into perdition, right? Remember, he turns on the whore. You know what I mean? So, like, he comes as a figure to save the masses, you know, from this horrible stuff. So don't get it twisted. There's only one savior. But anyways.
Yep.
Oh, all right. So airplane and helicopter. I got an interesting video that I want to pop up, and you haven't seen this. Yeah. So this video. I forget when this was. I'll look after we play it and see if it gives me a date. But this is basically
also for those of you listening, we'll try to describe it, you know, as it happens and stuff like that, because not everybody's going to be watching.
Yeah. So this basically builds a case for one of the theories out there in regards to this helicopter colliding with this plane. Go ahead and throw it up right now. What?
Just the random southern accent.
Yeah, man. I've been all over the world, all right? I'll pick up all kinds of different sayings and accents. Be like, Anggang haseyo. Sorry. That was a little Korean for you. All
right. There's going to be three people that understood.
All right. Let's give this a watch. Oh, I got to press play up here. Not on my share screen.
Huh. So, to be honest, you're going to have to explain that to me, too, because it, like, glitched out, and I wasn't able to see it on this end.
Oh, no. So, basically, it was a remote-controlled Blackhawk, and they were able to maneuver it from the ground to even come into a sling load position to come and pick up cargo or whatever else. And that's just a quick clip that, you know, just shows that this technology is out there. I mean, they can remote control anything, which brings me back to like my initial thought is like, if you have a helicopter pilot that's already tried to hit two planes and failed and is trying to hit a third plane, if I'm that co-pilot or crew chief, I'm socking that dude in the face. Like I'm, you know what I mean? I'm going to fight for the sustainment of life here.
At least, if nothing else, we're going down. Like one of these control arms is going to point down.
Yeah, it just doesn't make any sense. You know what I mean? So you're telling me like all three were like, ooh, see if you can hit them. Like, no. You know what I mean? Like it just, that's.
Ooh, that was a close one, Jim.
Yeah. Like it just doesn't make sense. And it's horribly tragic.
Got them, Samantha.
Yeah. It's like horribly tragic too, because you really do have like a lot of innocent life lost from that plane, you know, like,
yeah,
it's absolutely horrible. I just don't know what to make of the helicopter. And hey, if I'm wrong, okay, then I'm wrong. But this is just a theory because it just doesn't make sense. You know what I mean?
So like, I was wondering, like my first thought when I heard about the crash was like, oh, I wonder who was on that flight.
Yeah, right.
Or who the passengers were on both of them. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Because I guess anytime I hear about a plane crash, I always think like, okay, who was on that flight? Like, what official or opposer did they just assassinate with a whole plane crash and killed everybody?
Yeah, so here's another interesting thing is that Blackhawk was supposedly running a drill for like a doomsday drill, you know, so some sort of evacuation or something. And its flight deck, I believe, was like 200 feet and it was up around 350 when it gained altitude to hit this plane. It's just all these things together are just like raising eyebrows left and right. You know what I mean? It's like,
yeah.
It just, dude, I don't know. And then, okay, so
what,
then
what
you
do
have
you think is up with the?
No,
oh,
go ahead,
buddy. I was gonna say, what do you think is up with that Philly plane crash,
bro? So, yeah, right after, then you have this Learjet, which is like an air ambulance, right? For like, I think they're based out of Mexico, and it was all like Mexican crew. And actually, I think two Mexican citizens. One was a child, apparently, who like just had a surgery done up here. Anyway, so I say all that to say this is everybody who died on that plane is not an American citizen, right? So like they don't have any family, friends, anything to verify their identities or that they're gone up here. Now, I'm not saying that it wasn't a plane, but when I look at these video clips of it coming in, like I just don't see a plane in these clips. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It doesn't.
And you know what they did? They did that appeal to emotion by including a kid who just had a successful surgery. That way you're a heartless monster if you question whether or not that happened.
Yeah. And that, which just is not the case. Like I'm just suspect.
Yep.
Everything, man. Like everything.
Yeah, man.
You know?
That's why everybody needs to learn the trivium. Like some people are just inherently good at it, like you. Like, you're inherently good at recognizing logical fallacies and stuff. But if you learn the trivium, then you start, like, you start poking holes in these arguments and start discovering, like, what's actually true. You pull the veil behind the Wizard of Oz and realize it's just some guy with a machine back there. Like, yeah. The trivium, like, okay, so you recognize the appeal to authority, or not the appeal to authority, but the appeal to emotion with the kid. It's like, okay, that could be true, but I don't see any wreckage from this plane. So is there another angle that they could be using this kid with the surgery? It could be an appeal to emotion. So that way, it's like questioning the legitimacy of any of these school shooters. Like, oh, right. Well, a child died or kids died, so that means we can't question anything about it. Because who would lie about that?
Right. And yeah, who would lie about that? And it's just a coincidence that the same crisis actors are there talking to the news in different states. But, hey, but let me say this. Hey, thank you for saying that I'm good at identifying logical fallacies. And you know what, brother?
Yeah.
So are you. Okay.
Thanks, buddy.
Yeah.
Thanks, man. No did it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No. Everybody looked, yeah. Whoa. I don't even have words. Yeah, no. same. Oh, same, not okay. You know what I mean?
Oh, man. Okay, so the Philly Jet.
Yeah.
What do you think it was then?
Bro, At this point, I'm trying to look at things and try to just wrap my mind around them. And I'm open to being wrong. You know what I mean? Like, I'm totally open to being wrong. But, like, the plane was in the air less than a minute. I think, you know, approximately 30 seconds, give or take. And it's coming in like a fireball. You know what I mean? It looks like a missile to me. It doesn't look like a plane. I can't identify anything in a plane. And the way that it comes in is just like, it's not plane-like. I don't know how else to say it, you know?
So what if that missile, and this is what I was getting at earlier, what if that non-plane-like object, like you had mentioned before, was like a hypersonic missile, what if that's the same thing that hit either the helicopter or the plane? I would say, I guess, what if it hit the plane? Because they supposedly just hit the black box or found the black box to it. But what if that's the same thing that hit there? And it's like, because I don't know, Iran gave them, like, Israel, like, three warnings with those hypersonic missiles. They didn't just shoot one; they shot like, what was it, three?
Oh yeah, it was something like that, huh? Yeah, I don't know, dude.
What if, like, this was just one of the attacks?
I mean, look, for everybody listening, like, we're just sorting the garbage out here in front of everybody, and we're just trying to figure it out, right? So we're not saying we're dead set in these ideas, but I'm definitely not dead set in the narrative being given to us. Like, it just, it makes me feel gross.
Yeah. Like, come on now. Oh, man.
Yeah. Well, so let's check this out.
What else we got in the news?
Hold on, let's check this out real quick. Yeah.
You got more?
Because... Yeah, let's watch some of these planes in Philly come down, or this plane in Philly. There's a couple different, like, Ring doorbells and stuff. It's pretty sus. So, bro, I don't know, dude. I mean, that's a little far away, but the way that thing came in, you know what I mean?
Fireball. That's a man.
Yeah, I don't know, dude. It's... You know, the way that thing came in on that one, specifically when that couple's leaving their door, like, the way it came in and just, it arced in, you know, like, and it arced in. If this is a Learjet, right, and it's on fire already coming down, that means there's an explosion. And, like, anytime I've seen it, I mean, I've seen, like, fighter jets, when they've had issues and stuff like this, they, like, tumble down, you know what I mean? Like, they don't come down like a dart like this. I could be wrong. I'm not a plane scientist, but, bro, it just, to me, that just looks like a missile. And I guess here's the theory that I'm thinking about. Like, what if this is one of our adversaries that's like behind, you know, on a backroom phone call saying, you know, we can get out, we can reach out, we can touch you anytime we want to, watch this. And they send a like a hypersonic with no payload on it. You know what I mean? Just to crash it down onto the pavement. That sends a big message, dude.
Just to show. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just to show it's an option.
And again, like this, it just so happens that this is a jet that the people are, you know, foreign nationals. So there's no way to really confirm with anybody here that lives in the U.S. And I don't know.
Yeah. Same thing with like North Carolina Department of Transportation using illegals for the cleanup by the river. It's like whenever that population starts dying off, none of the locals ask because none of the locals have ties to those people.
Bro, when we came across that, when we were out there, I remember that moment. And we both knew exactly what was happening the second we saw it. It's like we didn't even have to say it to each other. We're just like, wow, this is fully intentional.
Yeah, it was fully intentional. And now people are dying in that area right now. There were 9 firefighters over in Newport, Tennessee that did not get the jab. They were like open about that they did not get the jab. And then even like continued the story as time went on that they did not get the jab. 9 of those guys that were in like the waters doing search and rescue and stuff are dead.
That's awful. Too. Yeah. That's just awful. Like, so for anybody who went out to help with this, do some detox protocols. You know, look up for heavy metals and
So for the detox protocol that both he and I have taken, I'll leave that linked down. Like if you're listening on a podcast, I'll leave it in the show notes. If you're listening on YouTube or watching on YouTube, I'll leave it down in the description. That's the same detox protocol that I've been taking. You will pee blue. So just heads up. Methylene blue makes you pee blue.
It's the coolest thing ever.
It's cool if you know what's happening. If you know what's going to happen, it's cool. If you don't know what's going to happen, I imagine it's pretty freaky.
It's like you ate like 25 blue snow cones and that's just your body's had enough and it's just getting it out, you know?
And taking a couple of shots of that blue juice too.
Dude,
the flavoring.
It's just cool. It's a fun experience.
Just so happens to be good for you.
But no, for real, like, you know, there's no shortage of conspiracies. And there's also no shortage of conspiracy theories. And like this is like literally part of like the doctrine of some of these three-letter agencies where they're like, we know we'll have control when basically all that is passed around is misinformation, you know?
Yeah.
And we're there. We've been there.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't doubt that some of the podcasts or the YouTube shows that you watch or listen to are there to give you just half truths or partial truths. They'll disguise themselves as like a conspiracy podcast in search of the truth and stuff like that. But they're really just to, you know, take you off the actual truth route. So they're called limited hangouts or something. Is that what they are?
I don't know, but it's a derivative of Mockingbird, you know? It's like when everybody's focus went to podcasts and small station like news reporting, and they're not watching large networks anymore. So of course that's where the focus of your propaganda is going to go, you know? I mean, hey, for us, now that you just said that, I look and, you know, you can't see either one of us who we are. It's like,
oh dude, if we were, okay, first of all, if we were one of those guys, we would have way more subscribers. I wouldn't be recording this podcast in this multi-purpose room right now. Like, that's a nice dedicated studio.
I wouldn't be in a dungeon. So
yeah, like there are a few check marks we don't check on that limited hangout list.
Yeah. Oh gosh. Yeah. Oh man. But you know, end of the day, like, people test everything, don't believe anything on face value, and weigh everything with scripture. Like, if scripture isn't our foundation, we're going to get lost in the sauce pretty quick. And here's the thing, yeah. Like, scripture is not going to tell us what happened in Philly, right? But scripture does let us know, and it reminds us, hey, there's going to be deceptions all over the place. And it just puts us on guard. Like, and the foundation is that we don't have to really worry about all this. You know what I mean? Like, this isn't our focus. So we're trying to pull people's focus away from this, you know, madness. Anyways, I'm going to start ranting.
You're good, man. Let's move on to the tariffs. Let's talk about these tariffs.
Oh, money, now, money, money.
I saw an article saying that there is somehow this connection between how tariffs are going to stop the illicit drugs coming in over the border, as well as, like, eliminate the illegal immigrant, like, crisis. Like, I understand that there's separate things being done about the, you know, the fentanyl and the illegal immigrants and stuff like that, but I don't see how the tariffs are tied into that at all. Do you see any connection between that?
The only thing I could see is this, is like they're actively pointing the finger at the actual government itself, the foreign government itself, and not any sort of crime syndicates, just being that the crime syndicates are the route in which the government pushes it. You know what I mean? It's kind of like saying it without saying it kind of deal. But so I don't know. You know, at the end of the day, I don't want to say it. I shouldn't say this out loud. Never mind.
Okay. If people start buying more American goods because of this, I would view that as a plus. Like, if people started trying to focus more on sourcing, you know, U.S. goods, I think a lot of people, a lot of, like, businesses and companies are like, oh yeah, we'll develop it and design it in the United States because we got the best one of those. But as soon as the product is designed and all that, we're sending the labor off to China, or to Mexico, or to Sri Lanka, or Bangladesh, or any of these other countries. Like, we source very little. Okay, I remember there was this one guy on YouTube who went to Trump Towers, and he went to the Trump like gift store, right? Yeah. And it was like half of the products in there that were saying, like, make America great and everything, half the products in there were sourced from the United States, and then the other half of the products were sourced in China. It's like, now it did show that he tried to get, like, USA sourced materials, but things like those tumbler cups and stuff like that, we just don't manufacture in the United States. Like, there's just things that we flat out just do not manufacture in the United States because we know that we can just send it off for cheap child labor in China.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and okay, this, everybody get ready, because I don't know how much truth is in this, but I supposedly a great deal of our toilet paper is made in Canada. So stock up.
Crap.
Stock up. You're going to have to run the gauntlet again to the store, you know?
Hey, remember, mullein is the plant you want. Mullein. It's soft. It has decent-sized leaves, like, you're not going to get anything on your hands. And, it's nice and soft. It won't cause any damage. Won't leave any red spots. And the flower, you can actually smoke or tincture to reduce, like, inflammation and, like, congestion in the lungs and stuff like that. It'll clear you out. There's a lot of old-time smokers that'll actually switch over to smoking mullein to clean out their lungs.
Really?
Yeah. Or vaping it. Some people, like, suspend it in, like, that vaping juice and they'll vape it.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's crazy.
Yeah. use it on my daughter's ears to prevent ear infections.
Oh, thanks. See, look how wonderful Yaz creation is. You know what I mean? It's like everything we need.
Dude, it's insane. I remember learning about like North American shamans, right? And like shaman meaning like healer. They were like they're the camp's medic. And like to pass into like becoming a full-blown like shaman, they'd have to leave for a year and they'd have to find a plant that wasn't useful, that didn't have some medicinal benefit to it. They just had to find one. The trick was is that if they came back with any plant, they failed because there isn't a plant that doesn't have some sort of medicinal use to it.
See, and that's what's so incredible. And I believe it too. Like I've been learning so much over these past couple of years, and especially from you too. It's like, I don't know. I already wasn't going to the doctors, and I'm not planning on going anymore. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah, same.
And
not unless it's like some emergency medical type thing.
Yeah, if you can't find you some Molin to wipe your tushy, you know, just splash you some water up on that thing and call it a day. You know what I mean? It's gonna be the toilet paper apocalypse before you know it. So
we should all have bidets anyway. Yeah, we should have all bidets anyway, because like they're just cleaner. Toilet paper, okay. Put some toilet paper. Put some peanut butter on your fingers. And try to wipe it off
there for a second.
Oh dang! Am I back?
We're back.
Are we back? Okay, cool. Did you hear anything about my toilet paper rant? And how filthy it is.
Nope.
Okay. Well, I was saying put some peanut butter on your fingers and then try to wipe it off with toilet paper and then sniff your fingers. You still smell peanut butter, don't you? That's right. You got to get a bidet.
Yep.
You got to wash that. Quit being filthy.
Bro, I'm not fancy enough, I don't think. That scares me, too.
You can get one for like $25. It's like... You can get one for like $25 online.
I've seen Terminator. Like, what if that thing comes alive? I mean, that's a that's a scary moment.
Then it's going to be a battle in the bathroom. Then and that's what it's going to be.
Which leads me back to my main technique: go take a poop outside. You know.
Yep. Yep.
All right, bring so a spray we did it again.
There, you can use a spray bottle. We got back on poop.
Yeah, my bad.
Terrible.
I don't know what's wrong with me.
Yeah. So, 10% tariffs on 10% tariffs on China, 25% tariffs on Canada and Mexico. Which I don't know. I just hope the best from this situation. I hope that it just pushes more USA made goods and people start understanding the true price of what like items cost, like the true price. Like there's no reason you should be able to buy like a set of measuring cups for 25 cents. That just doesn't make any sense. Like it doesn't make any like logical sense. Like we need to get out of this like overly consumeristic idea and start like going back to actual products and like planned obsolescence. You know what's going to happen? All the companies that like just push out junk cars and stuff like that, they're going to go away, hopefully. Or cars is just an example, but all the junk stuff is going to go away because now you're going to have to pay extra, like 25% more or even more because they might try to retaliate or something like that. But you're going to have to pay more for the product. So if you're paying more, then you might as well just buy the better product instead of the cheaper product.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, dude, what's crazy about all this is like even the commander in chief himself is saying it's going to be rough for a little while. You know, like,
oh, yeah,
all of them are saying this. And if they're warning, which never happens, right? And so if they're giving a warning, in my mind, I'm like, oh, it's going to be actually much worse than what they're saying. You know, they're just checking
now,
the block.
Okay. I can think of a couple times during COVID where they kept giving those warnings. Where was it Biden and Trump both kept giving those warnings? They were like, you need to put back a couple months of food because we're about to have food shortages and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And like, were there some things missing off the shelves? Yeah. But was it like you couldn't get access to any kind of food in the store? No. Like, there were still plenty of options. It's just a couple of sections of the shelves were empty, and people started, like, freaking out. I don't know what to think about the warnings anymore. I don't know if they're legit or if it's, like, an applied Hegelian dialectic where they're trying to, like, they gave you the problem. They're waiting for the reaction, which is us going out and buying a bunch of stuff, and then maybe somebody made money along the way. I don't really know.
Yeah.
But, well, either way, check out our last two podcasts, or not, maybe not the last two, but we talk about preparedness. This could be the disaster you prepare for.
Could be. We'll have to find out. You bring up some good points. I'm honestly, like, just playing the guessing game at this point, because we're in uncharted territory. Like, we've never seen anything like this, especially such a quick ramp up to change. I guess is as good as mine at the end of the day. So here's the interesting thing is, like, Canada and Mexico are saying, yeah, we're going to put these tariffs on you guys and try to affect, like, the red states in the U.S. And I think it was, like, the governor of Texas is like, our economy is bigger than yours, Canada. Like, what are you trying to do? You know, it's just funny. All these talking heads come out.
Yeah, let's be honest. Texas could leave if it wanted to. It could just leave if it wanted to. It's got oil.
Oh, yeah.
It's got manufacturing. Yeah. It's got a little bit of everything. It's going to be just fine if Texas decided to secede. It's like a discussion every year. It's like, oh, is Texas going to leave this time? It might. It might. I don't know. Speaking of Texas.
Well, and not to forget.
The.
What's up with Texas? No, what's up with Texas?
The Border Patrol getting shot on, getting shot at and stuff by the cartel. Okay. So, how do you think if America put all its forces together, because this was like a popular clip for a while. I can't remember who was talking about it. But if America put its forces together to completely eradicate the cartel, how long do you think that would take?
Oh, dude, I don't know, man. The cartel is literally the cartels multiple. They're like literally they're armies. You know, they have armored vehicles. They have crew served weapons. They have, I mean, they have anti-aircraft weapons. Like, they have all these stuff and things to fight a war. And they're willing. They're willing to fight. I don't know. I'm not saying that we don't have some really awesome door kickers, you know, but this is, I think, going to be a much bigger thing than what's being put out on the news, you know? Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, I think everybody underestimates them, especially the fact that they're already, they're literally already in every city, like every major city. Like, they're not just on the south side of the border. They're here. I mean,
yeah.
It's kind of one of those things that it's like, okay, you know, when you knock down one domino, there's going to be a lot that falls. You know what I mean?
Yep. And we'll be able to determine, like, how thorough this eradication of the cartels is based on how many CIA directors get fired or how many people in the CIA get fired. We'll be able to determine if this was legit or if this was just a circus.
Well, I think there's aspects of both. You know what I mean? Like, there's definitely a show being put on. And it's hard to say which aspects of what we're seeing are, you know, the stage, if you will. And there's a greater agenda happening. Like, you know, when I look at the world right now, what I'm waiting for, and I was thinking about this earlier, is I've been asked, like, in prophecy wise, what do you think is going to happen next? And if I, you know, if my inclination is correct, this last king is rising up right now, this lawless one, then I'm looking for the two witnesses, right? Whomever they may be, but I'm looking for them to come on stage. But if we look at, like, you know, for Ezra, it says that, like, everybody will be, like, at war with one another. And then Yahushua, the Messiah, is going to show up and Mount Zion with him. So New Jerusalem will be made manifest with him. And then everybody leaves the warfare they have one with another to come against him and fight, right? And it's like, okay, yep. So he's gonna show up. But then we also see, like, in Isaiah 66, 19 and 20, that it says that, like, I will take some of those that escape, I will set my sign upon them, and I'll send them out to the nations. And I'm paraphrasing, but they're gonna go out as witnesses, right? Some of those that escape. And this escape isn't the resurrection, but anyways, I'm looking for, at this point, I'm like, it could very well just be the Messiah being made manifest to our eyes, right? Like, showing up, and that kicks everything off, you know, like, that could be this inflection point. Sorry, total tangent. I don't even know how I got on that, but
how about we bring this episode in for a landing, landing. That was not supposed to be a pun about the Rex.
All right, yeah, I'm glad you mentioned it like that. For sure. So, and real quick though, the cartels also just greenlit the use of, like, drones with explosives, on border patrol and military at the border. So. They're using modern techniques that are being used on the battlefield in Europe and in the Middle East, and they're implementing these. So, it's going
to
be...
What if that's what happened to the flights up in D.C. and Philly?
Bro, who knows? Yeah. I mean, like, this... I just don't believe the narrative, you know? Like, the common narrative on it, but...
Because it's one thing if it's like, okay, a drone attack on Texas. All right, they're right across the border. They're right there. It's different if you do a drone attack all the way up to D.C. or all the way up to Philly.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. It's, that's like mean business, you know? But.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know, man. But y'all, if you want to sign up for a testimony, if you want to give your testimony here on the Pimpcast, not the Pimpcast, the podcast, if you want to give your testimony to the podcast, then shoot us an email over at exiledstrangers@proton.me. That's exiledstrangers@proton.me. And then we'll have you on. And you can use that email if you have any, like, comments or questions, or you flat out disagree with us. Anything you want to send us, shoot us at the email. Remember, if wherever you're listening, give us a rating on the platform, whether it be Spotify or Apple Podcasts. We would appreciate the 5-star rating, but we understand if you got to lower that score a little bit. Also, if you're on YouTube, like, share, subscribe, comment, all that type of fun stuff. You got any final words for us, Nobody?
Yeah, I do. Everybody, just get your act together. You know, like. Take a look at what you got around you, what you're going to need. Who knows what's ahead of us? So get into scripture. Just get into scripture. If you do just one thing, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Anyways.
Yeah. And if you need any tips on preparedness or anything like that, check out our older episodes. Yeah. All right. Until next time, we'll see you guys.